Get exclusive insider access to Milan's style and design with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Make private visits to galleries, top restaurants and shops, Lake Como, and much more. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 646-780-8383.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Investment banks are going to human resources, not to blow the whistle on anybody, but to fire up a new revenue stream. We'll break it all down in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Well, the good news is the Consumer Price Index, which measures what Americans pay for goods and services like flat-screen TVs and lawnmowers, remained the same in January for the third month in a row. In fact, inflation was up 1.6% from the prior year. That's the smallest year-over-year gain since the middle of 2017. The bad news is when food and energy are removed from the equation, the price index was actually up 0.2% in January and has remained at that growth pace for about half a year. The data reveals the recent rise in price growth stems in part from a surge in prices for clothing and used cars. At the same time, the rate of inflation for housing, or shelter, as the government calls it, has been slowing, and that includes rent, a large chunk of the typical American's living expenses. And a study from the Journal of Public Economics indicates that not only has the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, given more people access to health insurance, but that access to health insurance has led to a significant reduction and Americans becoming delinquent on rent and mortgage payments. The research team behind the study tracked responses to an optional survey as part of their tax returns in 2014, 2015, and 2016 to gauge households that qualified for subsidized health insurance marketplace plans. Having access to the marketplace subsidies resulted in a 25% reduction in respondents who said that they had been delinquent with a rent or mortgage payment. Investment banks have been on the hunt for steadier forms of revenue, steadier, that is, than trading commissions that tend to ebb and flow as the economic climate shifts. And many have found that, and it involves pitching to their clients' human resources departments. Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman is here to explain all this. So, Liz, many banks are turning to employee benefit programs that could generate a reliable revenue stream. In fact, Morgan Stanley really had a headline about this week.
That's right. They bought a company called Solium Capital, which manages the employee stock plans for about 3,000 companies, including some very big startups. So the idea here is that when a company pays its employees in stock, someone has to hold on to that until it's vested and it's able to be sold. And so Solium has contracts with these companies. Morgan Stanley's goal is to get all of these employees, it's about 1 million employees at those companies, in the door, and then say, while you're here, we have a great wealth management business and we can offer all kinds of financial products.
And Goldman Sachs has a consumer bank named Marcus, which kind of puts a face and a brand on it. And they are looking for companies to hire them as well.
Yeah, so Goldman, over the last 2 or 3 years, has really been pushing into retail banking. They haven't done it in the past. And the big problem, if you are a startup retail bank, is how do you get customers? You can build a lot of branches, which is really expensive. You can send a lot of direct mail, which is really expensive. You can buy referrals from other websites, which is also expensive. So they've decided to go basically ask companies to access their employees. So big companies have tens, hundreds of thousands of employees who need to bank somewhere, and Goldman finds it easier to just go to HR and say, can you give us a contract and we will offer savings accounts and loans and all kinds of products for all of your employees.
And for a company like Goldman in this case, it helps them to develop some sort of a brand relationship with the rank and file, which I guess could be potential customers coming back to Goldman.
Exactly right. Now, this is a competitive space, right? Most people, you know, if your 401k is managed by Fidelity, you didn't choose Fidelity, your employer did. And so you may not have a lot of loyalty or particularly care to engage with them in your day-to-day banking. And so it's a really fine line. And in fact, Goldman, one way they've been doing this is to create these financial literacy and wellness websites that can be offered to employees, the idea being that it's sort of a pipeline of potential customers. You know, they made one of these for Google last year. And as part of it, Google explicitly said, you can't pitch our employees on anything. If employees are interested in a high-yield savings account, they can ask you about it, but that's got to be a one-way flow of information. And so they have to be careful.
You also mentioned in your Wall Street Journal story, it can be a tricky path to walk here, especially given some sales scandals that have occurred in the past couple of years.
The magic word here is cross-selling, right? They get you in the door by offering a benefit that's handled through your workplace. And then they say, well, while you're here, do you need a savings account? Do you need a mortgage? Do you need a loan? And that has not worked out well other places in the past. Think about Wells Fargo, you know, had their sales account scandal where they were under so much pressure to open new accounts that they just opened fake accounts and gave you a checking account you never asked for. And so people need to be very, very careful here.
And so if a bank goes and pitches themselves to a company, let's call them Company X, to manage the benefits program, 401k, provide some wellness and financial know-how services, for Company X, that's got to work towards some employee retention and employee loyalty because it shows that Company X has some real awareness and interest in the well-being of their employees.
So in the last 5 or 10 years, companies have really come around to the idea that financial wellness is a type of wellness in the same way that they care that you're healthy because it keeps their healthcare costs down, and they find, you know, they give free lunches because they want people to be more productive at their desks. People who are worried about money are less productive day to day. They're stressed, they're spending time with their spouse, with their bank, trying to make payments. It's not how companies want their employees to be. So this has become kind of table stakes for big companies to have really holistic, helpful financial literacy management and services programs. The other thing is in Silicon Valley, the competition for tech talent is so high that people are heavily compensated in stock. They get stock and options for these companies that might go public at these huge valuations. And so that has its own financial and sort of someone's got to manage all of that. And when your shares are, when they vest, they have to give them to you. And if you want to sell them, they've got to manage that cash. And so that there's a real opportunity for these banks in Silicon Valley, where they obviously have pretty deep roots with startups and IPOs and that kind of thing.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman here in our studio. Liz, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.